Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning, and we continue in it, actually. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that you send to touch our hearts, to open our minds, our spirits, our spiritual ears, and that we might be able to hear and see that which the Spirit of God has to speak to us today. Also, Father, that your Spirit would rest on each and every one of us. It would rest on your servant who brings the word today, on the people that hear the word today. And Father, our goal is not just to hear, but to become doers of that word, that we might bring honor and glory to you, that we might be better in the sense that we become more like you. We thank you and praise you and invite you to just move freely amongst us. And Father, we call upon you to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Any competent parent will have good and reasonable expectations for their children. And in truth, each and every one of us has expectations about a lot of things. You have expectations about the people you are in relationship with. Husbands and wives expect certain things from one another. We expect certain things from our parents as children. We expect certain things from our children as parents. We work for a company or whatever we might do. We have expectations on that workplace that we're in, on our bosses. And they have expectations for us as their employees. You have expectations when you go to the store to buy something, or you buy a car, a new car. You expect it to run. You expect it to be trouble-free, a reasonable thing that you can expect is a good product when you pay good money for it. These are normal things that we've come to be used to and just expect it. Hopefully, your expectations are all high but reasonable. If your expectations are little or low, you'll settle for little and low. That's what we do. We get used to seeing a husband that's lazy, a wife that is, how would I say it, cranky or not particularly, what shall I say, friendly as they should be. And we just go through that, and then we just begin to accept that from people. We accept where they're at. And then we give up on them. And we kind of ignore the situation. Our relationships go down the tubes. And we wind up, what shall I say, just going through life like there's no real aim or purpose in it. Talking about aim or purpose and expectations. You take the day that Jesus came to Jerusalem, and his followers came, and he got that colt. You know, on that Holy Week or Passion Week, as we go through it right now, you realize how many thousands of prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled in a single week. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Hundreds of prophecies actually fulfilled in a single week. And they saw him on the donkey, and they began to shout, "Hosanna in the highest. Or save us, O God, we pray. Here comes the King." And they were expecting that Jesus would come, because the scripture said that your King comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. That now would come the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, because they believed he was the Messiah. That was the things they were expecting. By the end of the week, he had been betrayed, crucified, and buried. There was great disappointment. Hear the words of Cleopas, one of the two travelers on the Emmaus Road, as he's walking and Jesus comes along. Doesn't recognize him. And he says this. He goes on to say a number of things, but he says, "We were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. See, their expectations were based on what they wanted to believe. That's kind of how we are in some cases. We have expectations that we set in our mind and people don't live up to them, and then we are disappointed in the people. We're disappointed in God because He didn't show up the way we expected Him to show up, when we wanted Him to show up, and how we wanted Him to show up. That's the thing about God. I've had many conversations with Him over His timing. And I can remember at least on one of the many occasions saying, you know, God, You are eternal. I am not. You have time on Your side. I do not. Can You hurry this along just a little bit? And you know, He didn't listen to me. And I went through the same thing again in my life. And I had the same prayers and the same cry out to God. And He didn't listen to me. At least I didn't think He did. Then when it came to the third time that it happened, a light bulb went on. The problem wasn't God. It wasn't the other person. The problem was me. Hello. And once we got that straightened out, everything went just fine. See, that's how it is sometimes with God. We're waiting on God's. God's waiting on us. And in this case, with these folks coming in, they expected the king to come, to rule, to reign, to throw out the Romans. But no, He came to redeem them, to purchase them back from the power of sin and the power of the prince, the power of the air, the prince of darkness, the devil himself. He came to make a way for all of them to come to know God the Father and to enter into a personal relationship with Him, to know Him and love Him and be loved by Him. So, we can set any expectations we desire for others, as the Jews in the time of Jesus. And meanwhile, He was telling them what was going to happen. They didn't want to hear it. Peter didn't want to hear that He was going to the cross. Judas, when Judas heard He was going to the cross, I mean, he was really expecting to get into a place where he could really scam money off the people. When he heard that Jesus was going to the cross, then he betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver. Rather have the 30 pieces of silver than go through this whole deal with Him. I thought He was going to put me in a place of or position of power. He betrayed Him. So expectations. We can have them, as I said, for others, but we can't force other people to meet our expectations. How many of you know that? How many have tried to force people to meet your expectations? Now, you can do something with your children. You can teach them how to make the bed. And then you can oversee them. And then what you can do as a parent, which is kind of cool, is that, you know, you can take away the ice cream from the dessert, or you can take away the day out with their friends, play the day, whatever it may be. You can use things that basically make a penalty there so that they'll want to do the right thing. But God doesn't do that with us. You see, God wants us to be able to be free, to love Him of our own free will, not basically be forced. See, one day, the Scripture tells us that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you may be in control of yourself, that one day when Christ comes into the kingdom, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. They will have no choice, but there will be those of us who basically bow in homage to Him, out of love for Him, and there will be those who basically their knees are knocked to the ground. And from that place on, they'll be taken away. But every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for now, it's up to us. So God sets some expectations for us. And as I said, there's some things that we can help in encouraging people to meet expectations that we have. We can encourage them through kindness. We can encourage them through a number of different things, instruction, praise, all kinds of different things that help people know that they're doing okay and push them a little bit further, that gives them some incentive, so to speak. But we read in Peter, 1 Peter 1:22, it says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." Be passionate about your love for one another. Now, the reason I bring that up is we talked about fathers' expectations last week. And this week, I want to look at some additional expectations that the Scripture has for us. And I want to look at them from a point of view of how they are met. And that you, as free people, have the opportunity to make a decision in your life to obey God, to love one another, or not. Now, you may have come from a family where there wasn't much love in it. Maybe there was a lot of shouting and yelling and cursing going on. Maybe there was a lot of selfishness amongst siblings. Nobody learned how to share, but everybody learned how to take. You know, sometimes siblings even steal from one another, I heard. That's a terrible thing to think about that. You got to hide your candy bar from your brother or your sister. That's terrible. But it happens, and worse than that. So there is a cleansing power when it says in obedience to the word. There is a cleansing power in God's word as it is believed and obeyed. Peter and other disciples had learned how to live by faith. And as they did, God worked his power towards them. See, that's the difference with God's expectations. If you set yourself to meet them, not in your own strength, but through faith in him, he will give you the grace that you need and the power that you need, the strength that you need to do what he's called you to do. As the Apostle Paul said, "The life that I live by faith. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The anointed apostle, I should say, inspired writer Peter, writes, "Therefore, putting aside all malice," malice is anger and the desire to harm somebody, "and all deceit, and all hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation." Notice what happens here. God gives us a choice that we can take these certain things, we can put them aside, we can choose to do that. He won't force us. See, if he forces us to do it, guess what? That's not love. But even if we make an effort in obedience, that's an expression of love. Trying to do the things that would please mom or dad, the things that would make me a better worker on my job, the things that would make me a better employer. All of these things, we have to have a free ability to do this because that says what's inside of us. That tells us who we are. If we're just doing something because somebody's holding a big stick over us, ready to whack us if we don't get it done, that's not love and obedience. That's not faith and obedience. That's simply the pressure and the fear of judgment. He goes on to say, so you can put all of these things aside and you can long for the pure milk of the word. You can get into the word of God. Just do what I mentioned to you this week. Put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the scripture. What was it like? What do you picture it like? Ask God to show you. God will bring you in to to this. He'll make things real to you. And that's what happens. God's got to become real to you. Not just something you, someone you read about. Not some history, person in history, a figure in history, but the God who knows you and loves you and who you know and love. He goes on to say, if you have tasted, this is the third thing here. So first, you put aside all of these things. You make a decision. Two, like a newborn babe, long for the pure milk of the word. So you grow in your salvation. Say, God, I want to grow up. I want to be the person that you have called me to be. And I want to say this to you very quickly. No one can be the person that they have been called to be, not in all the earth apart from Jesus Christ. See, that relationship with Jesus Christ was essential from the garden until the time that he returns. Without him, man falls. He gets back. He gets the base. He goes back worse and worse. He's perverse. With Christ, we are elevated because we're free now to come into the presence of God and be changed by him. And then he goes on to say, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. If you have what does that mean? Have you been born again? Have you been blessed by God? Do you know that God loves you? If not, start seeking God to come into that relationship with him. God will make himself real to you. I believe that if you're in the hearing of my voice, in a place where you can hear my voice, whether it's in this auditorium or on the radio or wherever it may be, I want you to know that I believe that God has something to say to you today. God wants you to know that he loves you. God wants you to know that he cares about you and that he wants you to know and love him as well. And he wants you to taste his kindness, his goodness. And then it says, and then you've got all of these things. You've made these decisions. You've put away all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. You now are in the Word of God. And you know what's happening now? You've tasted the kindness of the Lord, and there's something going on inside of you. And now you make a decision here to come to him as a living stone. Now, he is a living stone, you know. He's called the rock. He's the rock upon which the foundation for all things are made. He's the rock that comes without hands made and smashes that big statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw of all the kingdoms of the earth. All these kingdoms that we have seen from the days of Daniel that have come into being, whether it be the kingdom of Greece or Persia or whatever it may be, or Rome, or all of these different ancient kingdoms that continue to come in. And you see in the end, it's standing there proud. And we're right now, we're in the clay and the iron in the feet of that image. In Daniel, you can read about it yourself. But that stone comes and smacks it on the feet. That stone is Christ himself. But he's the living stone, which is the foundation stone for all the house. His house, which is his church. So coming to him, who is a living stone, which has been rejected by men. A lot of people out there have rejected him today. But is choice and precious in the sight of God the Father. You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious stone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. The truth is, if we believe and we obey, we will not be disappointed. And we will be able to do all that God calls us to do because he works his power towards those who believe. It's that simple. What does it mean to be a holy priesthood? Well, actually, I'm hoping that maybe while I'm gone, a couple of the preachers that come on are going to tackle that a bit. Because that's a ministry you have. That's what you've been called to do, to serve God by serving others in so many different ways, to be an intercessor, or a host of things that we could say. We're not going to go there right now, but I want to say this. Your choice now, my choice, is to say, I want to be a spiritual house. I want to be a priest in the house of God. I want to minister and do that. Well, he's made a way in for you to come on in and do it through his word and through basically your faith and obedience to him. It's that simple. It's your choice. You know, here at Amherst Christian Church, and I don't speak to any other church, I just know what I'm doing here. We don't attend church here. We are working with God and the Holy Spirit to be the church. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. You are individual members of it. You each have an important part in what God is doing in the world today. You may not think that, you may not see that, but take God's word for it. It's the truth. You're highly esteemed, and there's purpose for you. And just as there is a promise, this promise of being a holy priesthood, that promise is this, that you who once not a people, this is precious value then, is for you who believe. Listen to this. This precious value is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were appointed. You see, there's a blessing for those who obey, believe and obey, and there is a judgment or penalty for those who don't believe and obey. Now, you see what happened on the day that Jesus came riding into Jerusalem. The king had come. The Messiah had come. Jesus wept over that city. Why did he weep over the city? What did he say? He said, you have not seen, have not been aware that this was the day of your visitation. This was the day that was prophesied for all of the prophets going back through from Moses on. This was the day that had come to fulfillment. And what did the religious leaders do? They rejected him. They didn't recognize who he was. They said, tell your followers to shut up, to be quiet. And he said, if I tell them that, the stones themselves will cry out. The king had come. And he's come to you too today. But it's up to you to receive that king. Embrace him by faith. Take him into your heart. See, all those people with all of their buildings and all of their power, I want to just say this to you. You say, how could this be? Well, I'll tell you how it is. Because you see, they were political. They had power. They had authority. They liked being in charge and ruling over people. And if you took today and you put it into the modern day, now believe me, Donald Trump is not Jesus Christ. He's not the king or anything else. But I want to say this to you. He is the duly elected president of the United States. And you see now a guy who's appointing judges that will honor the Constitution of the United States. Look at all the people in both parties that are fighting to prevent him from doing it. They want to rule and reign over you. But God has called you to rule and reign with him. So you can take a look. It's just people. It's just the way they are. You can watch it unfold before your eyes. So, it says here, a stone of stumbling, that's what Christ becomes to them. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, they didn't receive it, and to this tomb they were also appointed. Disbelief and disobedience are sisters that lead to a bad ending. Disbelief and disobedience, they lead you to a bad end. If we reject Christ, we continue as one of the children of disobedience that's scheduled for wrath. He came to save. Receive him and be saved. Free will. Choice. You choose. Death or life are in your hands. But here's what he says to those who make the choice to receive him. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, a people that God holds to himself. You belong to him. so that you may proclaim, you have a purpose in life, to proclaim, to announce the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you are the people of God and have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent amongst the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them. So you see, it's not just I believe this, it's who you are as a person. Are you a good person? If Christ is working in you and working through you, you'll be doing good things. You'll be helping people. You'll be involved, perhaps, and say, hey, look, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I like this safe family thing. I want to help other people. I don't know. This is an opportunity for me. And when the opportunity comes, you take it. And it says this here. They'll slander you as evildoers. They may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of the visitation. That's when he comes. So they were right. The promise is to those who through faith and obedience and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit purify their souls for sincere love of the brethren, loving them from the heart. And to put these four things together, put aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Make an effort to grow in your salvation through the word of God and faith in him. Taste the kindness of God and come to him as a living stone with the goal of being built into a spiritual house and say, I'm here for you, God. Whatever you have for me. I'll tell you what, whatever your life is, if you give it to him, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. And I will just say this, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. These have met, that's priesthood. These are the people that have met the expectations of the Word of God. And you, if you meet them, shall not be disappointed. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Let's stand together.